Apple's latest addition to its Mac lineup is the M3 MacBook Air. And on this episode of the Macworld Podcast, we're talking about why the Air is probably the best laptop for you. That's coming up. Welcome to the Macworld Podcast. I'm Roman Loyola here with Jason Cross.
Good morning.
And Michael Simon.
Hello, sir.
The new M3 MacBook Air started shipping last Friday, and we got a unit in our review posted last Monday. So on today's show, we're talking about the new MacBook Air, our suggestions when buying one, what it represents in Apple's lineup, and more. I wrote the review, and a link is posted in the show notes. I guess in summary, it's basically the same laptop as the previous MacBook Air, except for three changes. And I guess we could start with the major one, which is the M3 chip. I guess we're not too surprised as to what the M3 chip offers, because we know what it brings already, because it was introduced in the iMac and in the 14-inch MacBook Pro.
You're going to get the same thing as the MacBook Pro, except that it's got no fan, so it will throttle down if you do like a sustained workload. But performance-wise, there's nothing new going on there.
The M3 processor itself was very much what we expected as well. Like, there was no surprise when it arrived either. It's a year-over-year generational increase, 20%-ish, a little better on the graphic side, more cores, you know, the what we've seen from the three generations of Apple Silicon so far.
And so that's what we saw in this MacBook Air, is a 20% increase over the M2 MacBook Air. Yeah, so that's the performance. I mean, it's hard to say anything else because...
Yeah, you could have... Roman wrote a very in-depth review that could have been like a paragraph.
Yeah, the couple of interesting tidbits compared to the MacBook Pro, just performance-wise. Obviously, there's the other changes between them, like ports and the display and, you know, stuff like that. But you can get the M3, the base model on the Air is an 8-core GPU, not the full 10-core GPU, which is they've commonly done on the Air. The Pro, you can't get anything less than the full 10-core GPU. And you can get a 256 gig SSD. The MacBook Pro starts with a 512. The little surprise for us was that, you know, we expected it to be similar to the last couple of MacBook Airs, where the 256 gig version is one chip and is therefore slower than the 512 and more version. Apple went back to doing two 128 gig chips. So the SSD performance is back to being the same no matter what, relatively the same no matter what storage option you get. That's kind of it. That's like, you can get an 8-core GPU and the 256 gig model is no longer kind of half speed storage. Other than that, kind of know what you're in for.
You can now run two external displays with the MacBook Air, which you couldn't do on the M2 or the M1. A little bit of a caveat, you got to close the lid, which is weird, but I'll let Roman talk about it since he tested it.
Yeah, so that's kind of like the second major feature. People have been kind of wanting to be able to connect more than one external display. So the MacBook Air, the M3 MacBook Air can run two displays. It's either two external displays or the built-in display and an external display. And how it works is you just plug in the display. Say you want to run two external displays. You plug in the displays on your two ports, occupying both ports. And then if the MacBook Air is open, only one display will work. And then you need to shut the display. When you shut the display, there's a little bit of a delay as the video feed needs to switch over. And then the second display will turn on. When you open the MacBook, it's almost instantaneous. The second display goes back off, and the MacBook Air display turns back on.
Like, can you pick which one stays on, or does it just kind of choose for you based on the port that it's plugged into?
I was not able to figure that out, if you can. I don't think so. I think there might be a port priority. Coincidentally, I tested with one studio display and the Doe Spectrum 1. And in my testing, the studio display kept stayed on and the Doe Spectrum 1 kept switching off.
Okay.
So, and I don't know if that's because the Spectrum 1's a 4K display and the studio display is a 5K display, so it decides that you might want the higher resolution display on or not, or if it was because the ports I was plugged into or what, or because it decided that the Apple display got a priority because it's an Apple display. I doubt that's it, but.
Well, I wouldn't. I don't know if it could discount that off the cuff.
Yeah, but there wasn't anything in system settings that let me set as keep this display on or keep.
Okay.
There wasn't anything in display settings.
It's a little weird because it really is just for people who have docks. You can no longer use your keyboard and touchpad. You'd have to have an external keyboard and touchpad for it. So it really seems like it is for people who's like, I do my work on this laptop and then I go into some kind of like an office and I have two displays there.
Yeah.
Like I want to use two larger displays instead of my laptop and a desktop display, but I've got like an external keyboard and mouse there and everything. Like this really seems aimed at that market. So it's a weird thing to have to have the MacBook closed.
Yeah, this is classic like Apple. Like, all right, fine. This is what you want. Fine. This is the only way we could possibly give it to you. So here.
I would think they could make it so that if you plugged in both, it just blanks out the MacBook screen. But the keyboard MacBooks. And touchpad never, I mean, MacBook. The MacBook
screen. Yeah, you would need like a setting to tell it to do that. But yeah.
But that's a checkbox. That's one checkbox in the display settings. So it seems like they could do that. And maybe that's the kind of thing we'll see in some future software update. But at least the hardware is there, is capable of doing this. And the MacBook Pro, the M3 MacBook Pro, not the M3 Pro and stuff, because those already do it. They'll get this feature in a software update.
It didn't. We just got an update last week. macOS, 14.4? And it wasn't part of that. So it's presumably either a smaller update or 14.5.
I don't know this for sure, but is it just pure speculation to say that perhaps the GPU on the M3 just isn't powerful enough to run three displays?
Yeah, I think that's a logical conclusion to draw.
It's not really about powerful enough, because I honestly think it's more powerful than Intel GPUs from several years ago that have been doing this. It's really about how many sort of output connections they've built into the chip. And they've kind of built two, one that goes to the, what is it, LVDS connection or whatever for the monitor. And it's also about what hardware they put in those USB-C ports. It could have less to do with the GPU and more than what they do with those ports. But I think it's all about the external connections of the GPU, not its quote unquote power.
So there is a hardware limitation. There is a hardware limitation that's
at. Yeah, I don't. It's not like they can make this work with the M2, right?
Yeah. So it's a nice convenient feature, but yeah, it has its little quirks. How helpful it is to you. Well, I guess that depends on your situation. And then the third feature is the upgrade to Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi 16 yes, now.
Which I actually forgot about during the review, and I kept sitting there thinking, there's got to be at least one more thing. There's got to be. And then I realized it was the Wi-Fi upgrade.
Yeah, you'll need a Wi-Fi 6E router to see any benefits from that. And even if you do have one, it's, you know, it'll be a little bit faster, but nothing that's going to blow you away.
Like a regular Wi-Fi 6 router is usually faster than your internet connection. So it's really about like, am I transferring to like local network storage a lot? And then like, do I have a Wi-Fi 6E router? Is that 6E channel, the 5 gigahertz blocks of channels, is that being used by something else? You know, Wi-Fi 6E is not the kind of thing regular people need to worry about a lot. It's Wi-Fi 7, where it comes in really handy is mesh networks and stuff, where those extra channels in the 6 gigahertz range that are that make Wi-Fi 6E, the E part of Wi-Fi 6E, those dedicated channels, those can be used to communicate between the routers if you have like a mesh network setup or something. And they'll be uninterfered and have a big old block of contiguous channels and stuff, and that'll really help there. That's kind of its best benefit. The whole like, well, it makes my laptop connect to my router faster is really, it's the smallest difference in the world.
But it's good that all of Apple's products are on the same Wi-Fi now. They were, they had some.
Yeah, it is good that they all have Wi-Fi 6E and Bluetooth 5.3. In the past, been pretty quick about adopting new Wi-Fi technologies. It's been kind of slow to see them roll out Wi-Fi 6E. I hope when Wi-Fi 7, I hope they're a little faster on that.
Yeah, there's rumors that the iPhone 16 Pro could adopt Wi-Fi 7, and presumably the Mac Pros would follow that, but, you know, we'll see. You think Wi-Fi 6E is, you know, those routers are rare. Wi-Fi 7 is even more so. They're very expensive. And most, I would say 99% of people don't have one in their home yet.
Yeah, they're pricey. They're kind of beta routers. They're Wi-Fi 7's not finalized. It's they're doing the same thing that's always happened with Wi-Fi, or at least for years now, where it's close enough. The draft, they're on a draft spec, and the hardware that everybody's shipping will be able to be updated to the final spec with a firmware update. So they're all kind of using draft Wi-Fi 7, but that helps you throughout the frequency range of what you connect to and everything else. So that'll be a good update when it happens. It's kind of comes down to how much money does Apple want to spend on to throw at Broadcom or whoever on a Wi-Fi chip.
And the MacBook Air comes in 4 colors. I didn't count it in the new feature set, but there is a new quote unquote feature for the midnight color. It now has an anodized seal. I did not get a midnight MacBook Air, and I got the Starlight one. But I did look at the space black 16-inch MacBook Pro, which I'm guessing is the same anodized seal. It probably is. And it works. The one thing I did notice, though, after a certain amount of time with the 16-inch MacBook Pro beyond the when the review is posted, the trackpad attracts a lot of fingerprints and, I guess, grease. Maybe I'm just a dirty person.
Yeah.
So because the trackpad, they don't put the seal on the trackpad, fingerprints, and if, say, like you're eating a sandwich while you're using your trackpad, it'll show up more on that space black, or I guess perhaps midnight on the MacBook Air. That'll be more apparent on that trackpad. But the rest of the body, it seems to resist that pretty well.
Sure. But from what I've seen on the sort of, you know, some of the other online reviews and YouTubers and stuff, is that it helps compared to the midnight, like the M2 MacBook Air that didn't have that anodization seal. It's better, but it's still kind of a fingerprint magnet. Like, you're still going to see a lot of fingerprints. If you're really worried about fingerprints, one of the other colors is maybe more for you.
That's basically it in terms of what's new. Everything else is the same. You know, it has the same number of ports. It has the same design. Even the pricing stayed the same.
So the M1 that has been around for 3+ years is finally gone. And the M2, 13-inch M2 model, the low end, is now the $999 one, which, you know, that's a huge upgrade, even though it's the one we've had for a while. Over the one that it replaces, is that's a pretty good laptop, and that'll probably drop in price over the course of the next few months in like Amazon and B&H and Best Buy. Come Black Friday, $800 for the M2 13-inch MacBook Air is that's a hell of a price.
I wouldn't be surprised if that would even be a bigger seller than the 13-inch M3.
Maybe. I mean, they look identical now. Before,
yeah,
it was clearly the old, even the M1 was clearly older. Yeah, you can save for $100 to get in the new processor and you can run two displays. But once those price cuts come into play at Amazon and stuff, you know, you're going to, like, there's going to be two really good MacBooks for under $1,000 now.
Also, check the refurb store, Apple's refurb store, right? I haven't checked if the M2 Airs are are there yet, but that always cuts $100 or so, sometimes 200 off of the price. Here's one right now. I'm just as I'm checking, $849 for a refurbished M2 Air. That's sort of the entry level, 8-core GPU, 8-core CPU, 256 gig SSD.
And through Apple, you get a full year warranty through the refurb store.
Yeah, you get the warranty's the same as a new one. It comes with all new cables, accessories. They put it in a new enclosure. It's got a new battery. They basically just take the motherboard out of a regular and display out of a used one and put it in a completely new shell. You'd be forgiven for thinking it was new when you unboxed it. And so it's not like you're just buying a used one from a guy on the street and it's got his little scratches and dings and stuff like that. And you get a brand new battery. Be warned, again, the M2 one, the 256 gig M2 one isn't like the 256 gig M3 one. You do get that storage thing. But you'll see other models. You'll see models with more RAM and more storage and stuff like that on the refurb store.
If you're thinking about an M3 MacBook Air in the refurb store, you probably have to wait at least 8 months.
Yeah, it takes more than 6 months usually for Macs to end up in the refurb store.
Apple waits till they hit a certain critical mass and then they release them. And then the nice thing with Apple updating the M3 MacBook Air, well, besides that it's a great laptop, is that now Apple's MacBook lineup is kind of flushed out. It makes sense now. You got the M3 in the Pro lineup that also includes the M3 Pro chip and the M3 Max chips. Mm-hmm. Then you have the M3 base chip in the Airs. So it makes it a lot simpler now to kind of decide which ones are the ones for you. All the chips are the same series.
Yeah, the chips and the design. That M2 Pro was always like, why is this here? It's the same price as the Air. It's not that much quicker, but it has a fan and has the old design. Once they released the M3 Pro with the new design and the better display, cut that one. Now they cut the M1 Air and they have the M2 Air. Like, it's for the first time, like, it's very clear. Okay, what do I want? Boom, 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 boom. And what do I want to spend?
If you're thinking about an M3 Air, outside of the, like a 13-inch M3 Air, or maybe even the 15, outside of the size, you know, if you really need it to be thin, it starts to get really attractive to look at the 14-inch M3 Pro, because by the time you upgrade to the 512 gig SSD, because you probably don't want a 250, even though the speeds aren't there anymore, like for the length of your life of your laptop, 256 gig is not a lot. So by the time you upgrade that, you're looking at $1,299 and to get the full sort of M3. And it's $1,599 for the Pro, for the MacBook Pro.
For the 14-inch Pro, yeah.
Yeah.
You get a better display. You get the better hard drive. Like, there are more reasons to upgrade to that.
You get too. More ports. You get at the SD card slot. You get that for those reasons and stuff. It starts to be, you know, you also probably don't want 8 gigs of RAM, and then you have to pay $200 extra for that. And it's probably true that the M3 MacBook Pros, the 14-inch M3 MacBook Pros, are going to end up in the refurb store sooner than the M3 Airs, because they've been out for, I don't know, 5 months now, something like that. If that happens, you start looking at a refurb, you're going to start going, well, wait, my slightly upgraded M3 Air is the same price as a refurb M3 Pro, and I get the HDR display and ProMotion and the extra ports and yada yada.
We've even seen new ones at Amazon as low as like $1,450 for the M3 Pro. So yeah, definitely, like, do your homework a little bit before you plunk down money. The Jason brings up the RAM. All of these models that we're talking about, until you get to the M3 Pro, they all start at 8 gigs. It's $200 for all of them, same price to go up to 16. That's probably something you want to do, because you cannot upgrade the RAM in any way. Like, storage, you can always add an external drive. There's nothing to do. You have 8 gigs, you're going to have 8 gigs.
Yeah, storage is, you can do that. You can delete some stuff. You can move some of your big files off to a thumb drive or whatever. RAM is RAM. That's all you get. So you're going to want to spend that. By the time you start upgrading your MacBook Air a little bit, it starts to get really close to the price of a MacBook Pro, that 14-inch MacBook Pro, which, you know, like in terms of size and weight stuff, it's a little more, but it's not that much more.
Yeah, Apple has done this thing now where they like to put machines at practically every price point to kind of entice you to upgrade. So you can, you know, they have one at $12.99, $14.99, $16.99. You know, they make it easier for you to process whether you should upgrade or not. I think in the past, there were bigger gaps between product prices. Considering that upgrade was took a little more thought and maybe wasn't as upfront.
They've done that and they've made it so that the base model of a lot of things isn't really quite good enough and you need to do an upgrade. And then that upgrade starts to look like the base model of the next thing, you know?
Yeah.
By the time you add your RAM or by the time you add more storage, you're like, well, I'm just in spitting distance of the next thing. You know, maybe I get that. And it's pushing the average sale price up.
Yeah, we see this with the iPhones for years. You know, it's only $200 difference between the Pro and the non-Pro, you know. But for some people, you know, their budget is tight. You know, they have $1,000 to spend. They have $10.99 to spend, whatever it is. And the ones that you are going to get at those price points are pretty good now.
I would tell you this, before you buy a base model M3 MacBook Air, look at those M2 refurbs that have upgraded RAM and stuff. Because if you're, I'll take an M2 with 16 gigs of RAM and a 512 gig SSD over that base entry level M3 with the fewer GPU cores and the less RAM and the less storage and stuff. And you might get that if I barely have more than $1,000 to spend. It's like, yeah, go for it. Go do that.
Or like a clearance sale, Amazon or B&H or Best Buy is blowing out the M2s. I wonder if this is the last generation of MacBooks that are going to start with 8 gigs of RAM. I mean, they've been holding on for too long. They did the same thing with the iPhone and the base storage. It was 16 gigs forever, while everyone else was going up to 32 and 64. And they held on just as long as they could to squeeze a little extra profit out of it. And I wonder if the M4s, that'll be like the bigger selling point, is that now they all start at 16 gigs of RAM, except for the super cheap one.
So it's possible. It means a little less on the iPhone because it's not like you can get more RAM. Like you can get,
you know, I mean the storage, not RAM. So they had that 16 gigs of storage forever that was just way too little. But yeah, the RAM it's getting to the point where 8 gigs is like, it's just not enough for a modern operating system, for modern apps. It's just not enough.
It's definitely, well, for the M3 MacBook Pro, it is way outside. Like at that starting price, it's just absurd. It's absurd that it's 8. The Air, you can cut it a little more slack because its starting price is a lot lower. It's still, there's still no good reason for them not to have 16 when it's $27 to them or whatever. You know, it's not a big deal. But yeah, for the Pro, for sure. A $1,500 laptop with 8 gigs of RAM. I don't,
1600.
I don't care what. Yeah, I don't care what Apple says about how much, about all their fancy technologies. Like you can test it and see.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it'll probably be fine for a little while. In a year and a half, it's not going to be. It's just a fact. You know, RAM, you need as much as you can get. Not necessarily for right now, but for a year from now, for 2 years from now. Like, it helps your laptop last longer.
Even right now, just, you've got it's a MacBook Pro. I open 10 browser tabs.
The Pro should start at 16 gigs, yeah.
Right. I open 10 browser tabs and all of a sudden, or even the Air. I opened like 10 browser tabs and GarageBand to record my podcast, and I'm losing 30% of my performance, like right off the bat. Just, we'll see what they do next year. The other little bit left is that there is no M3 Ultra yet. That means the Mac Studio has not been upgraded. It is still all M2 chips. It's kind of in a weird place. This is their high performance. I mean, the Mac, I'm not even thinking about the Mac Pro because I don't even know who that's for. And it's such a small margin thing, but like their performance desktop is the Mac Studio and it's still an M2. and you're still you're like,
so
unless
so
you're gonna get the Ultra, like, do you even get that? Like,
it's a, I guess they're gonna update those desktops all at the same time, because I don't know, it's very strange to me that like they control the release of these things. It's not like they can look at Intel and say, you know, well, you didn't deliver the volume we need. It's them. But they still have this weird, staggered, and somewhat inexplicable release schedule for their Macs. The Mac Mini should have come out last week.
I have to think it's all about the Ultra, because the Mac Mini has a Pro model now. It's M2 and M2 Pro. If they made that M3 and M3 Pro, why would anybody buy the Mac Studio instead of the M3 Pro Mac Mini? Why get an M2 Pro Mac Studio? Then, like you said, that gap between products and what they offer it's way too wide. It's not what it's supposed to be. So I got to think they can't really, their hands are tied on upgrading the Mini until they can get the Studio upgraded.
Yeah, they did that last year. The M2 Pro Mini came out before the M2 Max Studio. And when you did all the pricing,
yeah,
it was like, well, like, what, like, this doesn't make any sense, because we're like $100. Like, it was older generation, new. Like, you might just buy the Studio, even though it's the old one. But you could say the same thing with the M2. Like, the pricing of the Mini, that Pro Mini is off, because if you add the RAM to get to the Studio and the storage to get to the Studio, you're like $200 away from it or something like that. The $19.99 Studio versus the $12.99 Mac Mini, it's just not correct.
But if they had updated the Mini and that was an M3 Pro Mini versus an M2 Pro Mac Studio, and
M2 Max
bucks more,
it's the Max Studio, the Max and the Ultra, right? There's no Pro. I don't think it's a Pro. I don't think there's a Pro Studio.
Yeah, I thought it was Max and Ultra.
Yeah, right, it's Max and Ultra.
Yeah. but the M2 Max is $19.99. The M2 Pro Mini is $12.99. But you got to double the storage, you got to add more RAM, and you're like right there. Plus, you get extra ports and everything else. So Apple fixed the MacBook lineup, but it still has problems with its desktop.
Not to say it doesn't care, but maybe it's not as urgent because...
Yeah, that's definitely true.
They sell much more laptops
than... Probably by a margin of 5 or 8 to 1. Yeah.
So just to wrap this up, people who should buy the MacBook Air, if you have an M2 MacBook Air...
You're fine. Yeah, you're okay.
Unless you really want that Wi-Fi 6E. Or that 2 external display support.
Yeah, they did. So Apple said they're going to bring it to the M3 MacBook Pro. There's no indication that they're going to make it an update to the M2 machine. So like, they're stuck running just one.
The interesting decision is for people who own an M1 MacBook Air. You know, you'll get a much more bigger performance jump, but you know, that M1 MacBook Air is still a good laptop, and it's only three and a half years old?
3.5, if you would take,
It's not outdated. The design is the old design.
Yeah,
you might like that better than this current.
Yeah, some people like the wedge. Yep.
Yeah. You know, that's a case-by-case situation. And I think a lot of people, they don't usually upgrade year by year or even 3.5 years by three and a half years.
For sure. Yeah, and based on Apple's pricing, it's not necessarily what Amazon sells it for, but the difference between the M1, which was on sale a week and a half ago, is $9.99. The M3 starts at $10.99. So we're talking about for $100, there's no, in my mind, there's no choice there. The difference between the M2 and the M3 is much more academic. So, like, if you want to save the $100, you get in. But that M1 for $9.99 and the M2 at the time for $10.99 always was like, well, why would you just pay the extra $100 and get, like, everything's better about it. Better chip, better design, better, you know, like, from soup to nuts, it was vastly improved. The M2 and the M3 is not nearly as big of a jump.
If I had an M1 and I was thinking about it, I would probably wait till WWDC when the new macOS is announced and see if there's any features. Definitely macOS 15 is going to work on the M1 chips. It's going to be supported, but they often have certain features that require the newer chips or the newer hardware in some way. And it might be worth waiting to see, like, hey, does this AI feature or whatever that looks really cool only work on an M2 or M3 or something, you know? So I would look at that before I decide to make that jump.
By the time macOS 15 comes out, it'll be 4 years since the M1 MacBook Air first came out. So, Jason's right. It is possible that some of the newer AI features require a better neural engine, a better processor.
And we'll know by WWDC when they announce it, and they have the specs, the lists, and they have a whole bunch of tiny little footnotes at the bottom of their things about features, about what hardware it requires, you know. So it's not like you have to wait till the fall when the new OS comes out. We'll know by the summer.
I was doing some research before the show, working on another article, and Apple tends to keep Macs on the compatibility list for about 6.5 years.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
As Jason pointed out, this whole AI thing might change that. Those features could be somewhat processor intensive.
As it stands, Apple limits some features to the M series processors, whereas the Intel Macs don't support them. It's not a ton, but it's enough. So as this whole AI thing, as we've seen, you know, with PCs, AI takes a ton of, I guess it's graphics power, energy, etc., to do whatever it does. So, you know, we'll see how Apple handles all that. They're not going to want to destroy your battery just so you can chat with Siri and get some answers to stuff.
It's likely certain things will work and certain things will be exclusive to, you know, the new. Because also, Apple's also concerned about performance to the degree where it's like, let's say there's a photos feature. They'll kind of have a time limit. Like, it only works on this processor because we only want it to take a second. This older processor, it's going to take 2 or 3 seconds, and that's we think that's a bad experience, so we're just not going to support that older process. Those things will happen because the M1 for your daily day-to-day tasks, if you're not a power user, if you're not editing video, anything like that, you'd be hard pressed to be scrolling around web pages and checking your email on an M1 versus an M3 and really notice the difference. The things that'll make a difference, things like battery life, display quality, those are the things that'll make you feel like it's a better laptop.
And if you're still using an Intel laptop, I mean, this is the third generation of M series chips now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's time to really look at one of the Apple Silicon machines.
They're never going back. If you're like, yeah, but my thing I use is only if it works on Intel, then I guess you're never upgrading your computer ever, because they're not going back. There's not going to be a solution for that. So you just start finding
and
a solution.
There's a good chance it runs better than you think with Rosetta, even if it's not a native Apple Silicon app and there won't be one. It'll run very well on the.
I mean, there are just a handful of things that just simply don't. And in particular, certain audio interfaces or stuff like that. You know, there's particular things they still don't run. If your attitude is, well, I'm just going to hang on to this as long as I can, okay, but there isn't going to be some future where that starts working again. That stuff's been abandoned. I think it would have been done by now if it's going to be done, and you're missing out on all kinds of features in macOS and a growing list of features in macOS and all this energy efficiency and battery life and all the other good stuff. So it's time now that the M3s are out. Prices have dropped on M2s. You can get those M2 refurbs nice and cheap.
Well, that does it for this episode of the Macworld Podcast, episode 877. Thanks to Jason Cross.
Thank you.
Thanks to Michael Simon.
Thank you, sir.
And thanks to you, the audience. Thank you for tuning in. You can subscribe to the Macworld Podcast in the podcast app, on Spotify, or through any other podcast app. Do you have any comments or questions? Send us an email at podcast@macworld.com or contact us through X, that's @Macworld, or on Threads, that's @Macworld_HQ, or on the Macworld Facebook page. Join us in the next episode of the Macworld Podcast as we talk about the latest in the world of Apple. See you next time.